Taken from 1 Peter chapter 1. And it's a message that I believe has great significance for the day we're in, because we are living in an age of hopelessness. I see it written in so many people's faces wherever I go. And I think of the fact that today people are grasping at straws, not knowing what to do in the midst of this pandemic. But yet I think of the fact that as the body of Christ, we have an amazing opportunity before us to share hope. Not just words of hope, but actions of hope as well. Because our prayer is that God would see Christ in us. And when the world sees Christ in us, they see hope. They see love, they see joy, they see peace, and the entire theme of Christmas comes before us. This is going to be a hopeless Christmas for so many people around us during these coming weeks, during these coming days. And I believe that God wants us to plant our feet on solid ground. And I believe that he wants us to look straight ahead and look to him, who is the author of hope, who is the finisher of our faith, who is the one who is able to use us in these days to bring hope to a hopeless generation and a hopeless world. So, this morning, I want us to look at this passage here in 1 Peter. There are several things, but I'm reminded of a book written by a fellow by the name of Viktor Frankl. And the name of that book was called Man's Search for Meaning. Interesting title, and maybe an appropriate title. Now, Viktor Frankl was the successor to Sigmund Freud. Sigmund Freud was from Vienna, Austria, and in his book, he said that the loss of hope and courage will bring great, great disappointment and great fright to the hearts of men and women throughout the world. And as a result of his experience in a Nazi concentration camp, this individual, whose last name is Frankl, an interesting name, a German name, he contended that when a man no longer possesses a motive for living, then he doesn't have a future. He doesn't have a path forward. He doesn't have much to hold on to. As I look out into this world today, I'm going to take this off if you don't mind. That's all right. As we look out into this world today, we realize that God has given us that opportunity to share hope. And, any attempt to restore man's inner strength, he wrote, had first to succeed in showing him that the future would be positive, that the future would be what many would call to be optimistic. Now, we know that hope is necessary for you and I today. Hope is necessary for our well-being. Hope gives us significance to life choices and enables people to endure living in a fallen world in a way that brings security. Hope is something where the opposite is pain, the opposite is suffering, and the opposite is a world that is filled with injustice. There are so many people today with physical health problems, with so many issues of suffering, and so many people's souls are right at the very edge, if you will, knowing that they have no place to turn. We have seen that during this pandemic that suicide has more than doubled in many places because people are without hope. People's marriages are falling apart. People's health is falling apart. People have been diagnosed with physical issues, even with COVID-19. This past week, I counted that there are at least six people I know that are going through or who have contracted COVID. And right now, they have it and they are quarantined. And so here we come to the writing of Paul, or writing of Peter rather, who has given us some hope. Peter stated that the only goal that cannot be crushed by this fallen world is a hope in the living Christ, in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the kind of hope, he says, that is unspeakable. This is the kind of hope that the world cannot give, but only he can give, only God can give. This is the kind of hope that finds unspeakable joy in our future for our heavenly reward in a world that is without God and without hope. We need that kind of hope today. This is the kind of hope that God wants us to think about during this Christmas season. And I hope that every single one of us will begin the journey to Bethlehem thinking of this hope and how we might increase that hope and live out that hope and share that hope with the fallen world. This is what the wise men were seeking on that first Christmas when they came to Bethlehem's manger. They were looking for that hope and they found it in a babe, wrapped in swaddling clothes, as it says in the scriptures, lying in a manger. I want to share with you three or four things this morning about that hope. Number one, as Peter explains it to us here, hope is our future heavenly reward. It is our future heavenly reward. In verses 3 through to 4, Peter says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." As I think of that, I remember back in the spring, in the month of April, we did not have the opportunity to gather here to celebrate Easter. We had to do it online. We were quarantined. We were, if you want to think about it, under house quarantine during that time. And it really saddened me that on Easter Sunday morning, we couldn't gather for breakfast. We couldn't gather for our sunrise service down by the waterfront. We couldn't worship. What a disappointing that day was. But then I realized that even COVID itself could not take away the joy that we have and the wonderful presence of God's Spirit in our lives. Even COVID-19 couldn't take it away. But we have a heavenly reward. Living hope begins with the acknowledgement of praise that God has mercy on his fallen creation. The Bible tells us that we've all sinned, we've all fallen short of the glory of God. The Bible tells us that all of us are undeserving of the grace of God. The Bible tells us that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ. And so, as we think about all the pain and all the suffering that this world has given us in these last few months, we continue to focus our eyes not just on the empty tomb, but now we're focusing our eyes on that Bethlehem scene in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago when Jesus was born and came into this world and became incarnate so that the hopeless would experience hope and those without joy could experience joy. And those who had no understanding of salvation and no idea of what was ahead of them could have an idea of what was ahead of them through Christ. And for the believer, for you and I as Christians today, we have this blessed hope. We have heaven before us. We have the world to put behind us, and we have heaven to look forward to. We have all that God has prepared for us. He tells us in the Gospel of John that he has given us a house with many mansions, a home prepared for us. What a great, wonderful truth that is, that he has given us that opportunity. Instead of death, God gave us the chance, he has given us the opportunity to be born again, as Peter says. To experience the new birth and to live for God and to know God. Not to live according to the flesh, but to be born anew as a child of God. That is an ultimate act of his wondrous mercy. To be born again is the greatest miracle of all. To be born by the Spirit is the greatest thing that could happen to any individual on this face of this earth. It is a unique work of God in the human heart. And if you're here this morning, if you can say beyond a shadow of a doubt that I have experienced the rebirth, that I am born again, that I'm a child of God, you can also say that I have a heavenly reward. I have a heavenly home waiting for me. It's a home that is eternal in the heavens. If you look at verses 4 and 5, it says, "And unto an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade." How good is that? We have that inheritance. Some of you may have received an inheritance, maybe from a loved one. Maybe from someone who has passed away. Maybe from a parent. Maybe from a relative. Maybe from someone in the community. If you've been given that inheritance, what a great and wonderful thing that is. Especially if it's lots of money in your bank account. But if you've been given an inheritance from God himself, it is the inheritance that is kept in heaven just for you. Just for you. And because of faith, which is a gift from God itself, you are shielded, the Bible says, by God's power. God has blessed you with that. God has given you that. And it's yours forever. And it's something, as I've said before, you can take to the bank with yourself. The object of a living hope is the promise that the true believer is the beneficiary of God's grace. And that person will receive an inheritance that can never perish. It can never fade. It can never be spoiled. But it's yours, and it's yours for all eternity. That word inheritance is a word not only referring to an earthly inheritance, but it refers to our heavenly kingdom inheritance. That our future reward is bountiful. That our future reward is filled with the promises of God. While we are to rejoice in what we already receive, We have received forgiveness from sin. We have received salvation. We have received the position of sonship. We have received the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit. And we have countless other blessings. We have this living hope. This living hope that we can look forward to. And it's our heavenly reward. The foundation of a living hope is found in knowing that this inheritance is secure. It's locked in. It is guaranteed by God's power. And it is guarded by our faith. Now that, to me, is, if you have that, you're on the winning team. You are on the winning side. The second thing we see is that not only is hope something that we've inherited for eternity, it is our eternal reward, but the second thing we see is that this hope is ours in spite of suffering. In spite of suffering. Now, when Peter was writing to the early church here, he was writing to a group of believers who were suffering. And they were suffering not from COVID-19, they were suffering because they were being persecuted for their faith. They were under great pressure, even to deny their faith in public. They were being persecuted. They were suffering. And Peter says in verses 6 and 7, "In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials." You know, we are living in a world right now where these words are becoming more and more relevant every day. That believers are more and more suffering grief in all kinds of trials. These have come, Peter says, so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. So Peter tells the Gentile believers to not rejoice, not only rejoice in their secure eternal home, their home in heaven that's waiting before them, but also in the sufferings they are experiencing while here on earth. Now, anybody that would tell you to rejoice in your sufferings in this day and age, you would think they're a little bit out of their tree. They're a little bit gone cuckoo. To rejoice in your suffering? I mean, that's not a message we hear on NBC or CBS or on TV or anywhere, to rejoice in your suffering. Peter says that we can rejoice in our sufferings, whatever that sufferings might be. And for the day that he lived in, those sufferings were sometimes tortured. Those sufferings sometimes were being crucified because of your faith, because of your relationship with God. God tells us right now in this day and age, because I don't believe Scripture has changed, the world has changed, but not the Word of God. God tells us, even today, even during your sufferings, you can rejoice. Whatever they might be, it could be health. It could be suffering through relationships. It could be suffering because of maybe even your job. It could be suffering because of many, many different things. The fact that you may have lost a job. Many people have lost jobs. Many people right now during this time of COVID are experiencing insurmountable issues in their lives. It's turning their world upside down, if you will. I think of Job. You read the book of Job, you see that if anybody suffered, it was good old Job. Job lost all his children. I believe he had 17 children. They all were lost. Job lost his wife. All of his family. They all died. Job lost his entire wealth. And even Job himself was on the brink of physical death. But he refused to give in. He refused to curse God. He refused to die. He held on. He rejoiced in the Lord. And he said, "The Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh. Blessed be the name of the Lord." In spite of all that, he said, "Blessed be the name of the Lord." So, God is, in spite of suffering, we have this hope. And the fact is, we can rejoice even when we're suffering, even when that's hard to do, even when that's difficult to do. Because, he says, the tension between the pressures and the ultimate glory to come is precisely what strengthens your faith to endure and receive the rewards to come. James tells us in the book of James, he says, "Consider it a pure joy, my brethren, when you face trials and tribulation, for the testing of your faith produces perseverance. And perseverance produces character," he says. That's so important for us to hear today. Instead of living a life of gloom and pessimism, instead of feeling like you're crushed and there's pain and suffering all around, Peter tells believers to rejoice in their faith. We have all these issues in our world today. We have all these problems in our world today. But the one thing we still have is faith, is trust, is hope. And this world will never, ever be able to take any of that from us. That's something we need to praise the Lord for. That's something we can rejoice in. And then the fourth thing that we see, the third thing we can see here is that hope is ours in knowing Christ and having a personal relationship with Christ. In verses 8 and 9, Peter writes, "Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy." Listen to this. "For you are receiving the end result of your faith." What is the end result of your faith? Peter says it here. The salvation of your souls. It is at this point that Peter reminds the Gentile believers that they are to walk by faith and not by sight. And what do we do in this world of ours today? And we're all guilty of it. So much of the time we walk by sight, not by faith. So much of the time, we are led by our feelings. So much of the time, we are led by what may be referred to as situation ethics, rather than the standard, basic, holy truths of God's Word. We're to live our lives by faith, my friends. And although alive during the life of Christ, most of the believers during Peter's time never met Jesus in person. And even though they got to see Jesus turn water, many got to see him to turn water into wine and drive out an evil spirit, perform miracles, and heal Peter's mother-in-law and cleanse a man from leprosy, which Jesus did. And heal a centurion's paralyzed servant. or the man with the withered hand, or all the stories that are given to us in the Gospels about the miracles and the healings that Jesus performed, the 5,000 men and women that Jesus fed, when he calmed the sea, when he walked on the water, when he raised Lazarus from the dead. They still loved and believed in Jesus. That faith is confidence in those who suffer with inexpressible and glorious joy. God has given us this opportunity, even in the midst of suffering, to focus our eyes on Christ. The moment we take our eyes away from Him is the moment we begin to lose perspective. And so finally, we see Peter talk about this great salvation, that this is such a great salvation that we have, that there is nothing else like it in all the world. In verses 10, he goes on to say, concerning this salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was come to you searched intently and with greatest care, verse 11, trying to find out the time and circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when he predicted the sufferings of the Messiah and the glories that would follow. And then in verse 12, it says, it was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you, when they spoke of the things that had now been told you by those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Even angels long to look into these things. Now, I think even right here, Peter was thinking about Christmas. Peter was thinking about when the angels appeared over Bethlehem 2,000 years ago, and when the birth of the Savior was being announced. What did they say? Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be to all the people. That message reminds us that this salvation, by far than anything else, is a salvation that comes directly from the very heart of God and is intended for you and I today, if we but believe and receive, if we but trust and hold to the firm foundational truths that God has for us in His Word. God calls us today to be a people of hope, to be looking ahead, because our salvation is closer today than when it was yesterday. To behold the Lamb of God and look to Him and find truth and find joy and find the real message of Christmas. And so may this living hope give us the assurance of our glorious inheritance that we have, and we will ever forever behold and glorify God because of. Let's bow together in prayer. Father, we just thank you for this living hope that we have today. We thank you for this presence of your Holy Spirit. We thank you for this great salvation that is ours. And we can praise you for this living hope that lives within us and dwells through us every single day. Holy Spirit, fill us. Even as the angels rejoiced when the birth of the Savior came 2,000 years ago, may we rejoice in that hope. May we be ambassadors of hope in a world that so desperately needs it. Lord, make it our mission this week. Make it our goal this week to bring hope to a hopeless world. The people that we hang out with the people we speak with, that those that we communicate with on the phone or in person or wherever they might be, Lord, help us to be ambassadors of hope. That this living hope may flow through us by your grace. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.